My message tonight is a well-known verse in a well-known psalm, and it's a hot and a sticky evening, and I'm so glad that I've got a simple gospel message to bring before you. Note the word simple, not simplistic. There is a depth to the gospel that not even the greatest of minds can fathom, and yet it can be put in words that even a little child can comprehend. And the psalm, if you've guessed from the hymns that we've been singing tonight, is the 23rd psalm, and the verse is the first verse, or the first part of the first verse in that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. So without further ado, let us launch in. And the first thing I want to say about the gospel, well, before saying that, I need to mention that the Lord here stoops to our level and uses figurative language, which maybe we in Wales are more familiar with than many people in the West, because he talks about sheep and shepherds, and there are more sheep than people in this part of the world. And certainly the people of the Old Testament would have been very familiar with this language. And even in the New Testament, we had the Lord Jesus in the reading describing himself as the Good Shepherd and his people, Christians, as sheep that had been rescued. And so the first thing we need to say about the message of Christianity is this, that we are compared to sheep. That's not very complimentary, is it? If you're familiar with sheep in any way, then you will know that they're noted for one thing, their foolishness. How did Isaiah put it? All we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone turning his own way. If during your holidays you find yourself in the hills of Snowdonia, you will often see maybe one sheep trying to get out of a field, finding a place under the fence where he can squeeze through. And then all the other sheep follow, thinking that it must be the right thing to do. The blind leading the blind. And instead of going to a field where the grass is greener, it's actually leading to the main road where there is much danger. And that's an excellent illustration of our state as mankind. You know, when you hear the gospel Sunday after Sunday, you're probably thinking, what has it got to do with me? I'm in church. I know these things. Why are you always telling me the gospel? Well, I'll tell you why. It's not so much what you've done wrong that's the issue. We have broken God's law. Even if you don't believe in the Ten Commandments, this country's in the mess it's in, because we are not heeding the moral law that God has given us. But that's just the surface. The real problem is this. We're going the wrong direction. And we've been going that direction since we were born. And we always think that the grass is greener on the other side, that my way is best, and we're following the crowd. All we like sheep have gone astray, every man turning his own way. What I want is what matters. But it's leading to that road, and there are cars coming, and we're in danger. That's why you need the gospel. You need to be saved. And the longer you go on without responding to Jesus Christ, the nearer you are to danger. How often have I used this illustration? I can't remember, so forgive me if you've heard it before. I was preaching once in Bryn Mawr, not in the Holy Land, but near Carmarthen. And it's a chapel right in the middle of nowhere. Great location. And by the time I'd finished preaching, it was dark and I had to get back. Needless to say, I wasn't driving. I was chauffeured there. And it was a dirty night in the sense that it was raining and it was windy and it was dark. No pleasant evening to be travelling. And me and my companion drove in the direction we thought was going to lead us home. And we went on for mile after mile. And we were saying to ourselves, this doesn't look like the way we came, but it's hard to tell in the dark, isn't it? Especially if it's a country lane. And then after half an hour, we saw a sign. And do you know what it said on that sign? Fishguard, so many miles. Instead of heading east towards Carmarthen, we'd been going completely the other direction, westwards. And the longer we continued that way, the further we were going away from our original destination. And that's your position. If you're not a true Christian tonight, it's not so much that you're doing wrong things. It's the fact that you're going away from God and from life. And if you remain in this state, when you die, it'll be too late. You will have fallen over the edge. And the greatest need is for every one of us here to be saved. I cannot say this often enough. We must become Christians, not because it will make life more interesting. It will cause you to have more problems, probably. Well, that's what happened to me. But because you're in danger, and because your eternal destiny is at stake. We're only in this world for a short time. We're all going to either heaven or hell. And I want to be right, don't you? I don't want to be preaching tonight about infra or supralapsarianism. I don't want to know about different methods of church government. I've got a soul, and I know in my better moments that there is a God-shaped hole in my soul, and that I need to be forgiven, and that I need to be reconciled to God, and that I need to be plucked from the broad road that leads to destruction and put on the narrow road that leads to life. Here's a sheep that needs saving. You are sheep that needs saving. That's where we must begin. If you're sitting in your pew thinking, why do I need the gospel? You need it, because there's no other alternative. Jesus Christ is the only way. So let us move on to the second point. The message of Christianity is just this, that the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who's come to save the lost sheep. This isn't my imagination. When David here was writing this psalm, probably in his early days, when he was young and when he used to wander the hills looking after the sheep, and he knew the Lord, he was thinking of the coming Messiah. And then when Jesus Christ came into this world, he said so himself in our reading, I am the good shepherd. There's no one else. All that were before me were thieves and robbers. And there's no one else to come. Those Jews who are still looking for their Messiah are doing a fruitless exercise. He has come. And I want to tell you about his rescue mission. Now, you must know something here about the ways of shepherds in the Middle East. They're slightly different to the shepherds in the West. Have you ever seen a shepherd here? They used to walk and have their sheepdogs, and the sheepdogs would kind of chase the sheep, and the shepherd would be behind, controlling things. Well, now they tend to use 4x4s, and they still have their sheepdogs, but they're behind the sheep. But in the Middle East, it was the reverse. The shepherd would be in front of the sheep, leading them, and he would have a stick, a very long stick, with a crooked end. And if he saw any sheep going astray, he would extend that stick, and he would use the loop at the end to put round the neck of the sheep and drag it back to safety. Thy rod and thy staff are mentioned in the psalm here. Now, what is Christianity? As simply as possible, it is just this. It is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He has come from heaven. Nobody else has ever done that. He is God, 100% divine. He was born a man 2,000 years ago. That's what we remember at Christmas time. 100% human. And a miracle took place at Bethlehem. God became a man, a real man, and yet at the same time, the Son of God, two natures, the human and the divine, in one person. I can't explain it. Where reason fails with all her powers, there faith prevails and love adores. I worship him because he came to save sinners. How did he do it? Well, I want to tell you that he came a long way to do this task. Isn't that an indication of love? How far would you go to save somebody? We're not thinking spiritually now, but if somebody was in distress, how much trouble would you go through in order to help them? I remember hearing about a family that had a terrible trial. They lost a child. He was killed in a tragic accident. And they had people coming round, and some people meant well, but they couldn't empathize. But then they had some friends come round who lived the other side of the country, somewhere in Scotland. And you know, these people one day just turned up on their doorstep, and they knew that this family were weary, and all they did was give them a hug and tell them that they were thinking of them, and then they drove all the way back to Scotland. Now there is an indication of love. And I want to inform you tonight, if you have doubts concerning God's love, I want to bring you the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the good shepherd of the sheep. He left the courts of heaven, the bliss and the purity there, and he came all the way down into this filthy world, and he debased himself by becoming a man, by living in our midst, in order to save you. He loves sinners. You need not doubt his concern for you tonight. If you are a sinner, if you know that you're a sheep going astray and in danger, Jesus Christ is for you. He came all the way into this world. He became a man in order to save you. Don't you think he's going to leave you then? And more than anything else, he went as far as a cross. He laid down his life for the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone turning to his own way. But on Calvary, something happened, a transaction took place. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We deserve the judgment of God because we have broken his laws. We have put our fists up to him. We have said to him, in effect, I don't want you, Lord. But God, in his love and in his grace, takes your sin and mine and puts them on his only begotten Son, he pays the punishment. He takes all so that we can be saved. That's the gospel for you. You don't have to do anything in order to have peace with God. Christ has done it all. You don't have to work in order to give yourself peace of conscience. Looking to Christ is all that's needed. Have you? Are you still looking within? Have you seen sheep that have got stuck in a fence, maybe? Have you seen the way that the sheep have tried getting themselves out, and only in the process of doing that, getting themselves more stuck in? And that's what you are doing in trying to save yourself. Every step you are trying to take in order to make yourself right with God is taking you further away from him, because it's making you more dependent on yourself. It's making you proud of yourself. Why can't you see that it is not by works which man has done, but it is all of grace? Jesus saves. How much more simple can you get it? We have heard the joyful sound. I'm making it sound like a lecture here tonight. That Jesus saves. He does. Because he did the work. And he doesn't just leave you when he saves you. He then, as the shepherd in the Middle East, leads you through this world. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? That's what the psalmist is talking about. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If you're not a Christian tonight, not only are you in danger, but you don't have anybody. I know you can be married. I know you can have this world's goods. I know that you can have pleasures. But in the ultimate sense, you have no soulmates. When things go against you, when illnesses come, when you lose husband, wife, possessions, job, then there is nothing. There's a song which puts it like this. I'm not supporting the song by quoting it, but I just like these words. We all need somebody to lean on. Sometimes we Christians are accused of being weak because we need crutches. I'm the first to put my hand up and say, I need somebody to lean on. And Jesus Christ didn't just save me 20 years ago. He didn't just forgive my sin. He didn't just make me right with God and give me a hope of heaven. He has led me since that day. And whenever I found myself in trouble, I can go to him. When all things seem against us, to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open. One ear will hear our prayer. Aren't you a fool if you're not a Christian? What else is there in life? It's a lonely world out there. But once you have Christ, then it's all personalized. It's not just a material world then. It's his handiwork. And even when you find yourself in difficult circumstances, he is there. When you don't feel his presence, he has promised to be with you, never to leave you or forsake you. There are older Christians here tonight who have said to me, and they will vouch to this tonight, that the Lord has never let them down, that he has been there for them, that he's led them safe thus far, and that he will lead them home. And when you have to cross that river of death, it's only a Saviour who has conquered death that will give you hope then. And so that's what Christianity is. It's Christ, the Good Shepherd, coming on a rescue mission to save these sheep, doing it in love, doing it by dying in their place, and not just leaving them there, but through the rest of their life in this world, leading them. And then, when they have to die, it's no longer the end, it's an entrance into life eternal. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, can I ask you, do you know where you are going? Have you an aim in life? Or is it just live for the moment and hope for the best? You wouldn't do that, would you, in other things? You would make sure that you had everything planned out. I know it's right to have a pension and to have, I can't even remember what they call these things, life assurance or whatever, and all these other things. You look at the adverts. This is the mistake of looking at daytime TV sometimes, when all the retired people are the audience, and you'll have all these adverts about what to do with those you leave behind. Well, of course, we want to plan. But what are you going to do? Your soul is going to go on. Have you planned for that? Have you got this Saviour? Is that sorted? I've got to sort that out first. If I know how to die, if I know where I'm going, if I know that my sins are forgiven, then I can sort out my physical life. So we're sheep, going astray, going into danger. Jesus Christ is described as a shepherd, doing everything. And then the psalm ends, the verse we're looking at ends with one word. Well, it doesn't end with this word, but the emphasis is on it. The Lord is my shepherd. David didn't say the Lord is the shepherd of his people, or the Lord is the shepherd of an innumerable group of people. It's personal. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is where I'm getting at. Are you able to say that Jesus Christ is your personal shepherd? You see, that's what becoming a Christian is. He's not just a general Saviour. He's your Saviour. Mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. And so when we're thinking about going astray tonight, it's not some other people who are going astray. It's me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. And when we're talking about Christ dying in the place of sinners, it's not just something that happens outside of me. It's my sin that put him there. And when we're talking about Christ leading us through this world, it's my Saviour, my protector, my guide, my comforter that we're talking about. As Martin Luther put it, Christianity is full of personal pronouns. You don't need to know much in terms of theology, but if you know this much, that he saves and that he can become yours, then you know enough. Now, how can he become mine? Well, I mentioned a little book this morning by Hannah Hurnad, Hinds Feet on High Places, and there's a lovely illustration in that, and I'm going to mention it now. You call on him. Initially, you see, you call for help. Lord, Save me. I'm going astray. I can't save myself. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? Thou must save, and thou alone. I'm crying to you for help. Have you done that? There's a prayer mentioned by the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Well, there are two men mentioned by him praying. One is the professional. He prays a long prayer, eloquent, thanking God that he's not like other people. That's religion for you. Holier than thou. I'm not interested in that. And then Christ mentions another man praying. He feels wretched because he knows he needs to be saved. And all he can cry out is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, that man went home saved. So can I ask you a simple question? Have you called on Christ to come and save you? Not some other people, but me. I can remember the day I did that. You know, I was converted in university. I thought I was a Christian when I went to university. And then I heard the gospel that you were listening to tonight. And I thought, ooh, that's okay. But I don't quite agree with this business about hell. I'm sure somebody like Gandhi is in heaven and somebody like Hitler is in hell. But I'm sure I'm all right. I've got enough Christianity to save me. And then I heard a preacher, and I'll never forget that meeting. I just know I went into that meeting thinking I was all right, and I left that meeting knowing that I needed to be saved. And I'd said my prayers before that night. I wasn't praying. But after that night, I cried for the Lord to save me. It wasn't comfortable. Who wants to admit that they need saving? But that's when I started calling on him. And there's a promise, you see. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I take him at his word and deed. Christ died for sinners. This I read. And in my heart I find a need of him to be my Saviour. That's all you do. Either you're trusting in yourself tonight to take you to heaven and to save you, or you're trusting in Christ. If you're trusting in Christ, then you're saying, he is my Saviour. He is my shepherd. But I don't want to leave you there. I want you to know that you're saved and that he is your shepherd. I want that for myself. You will go to heaven, trusting in Christ alone, leaning on his promise. But you'll have a more comfortable journey there if you know that your sins are forgiven. Don't you want that? That's the greatest gift in all the world. And how does that happen, you ask? Well, why don't you ask him to tell you? Tell me, thou art mine, O Saviour. Grant me an assurance clear. Banish all my dark misgivings. Soothe my sorrow. Calm my fear. Let me tell you, I think, a true story of a sheep that went astray on the Arran Mountains in North Wales, and this sheep got himself into terrible trouble. He wandered down a precipice, and if you've ever had the experience of climbing without ropes, you will know that the worst position to be in is to get onto a ledge, and you can't go down anymore. You've got yourself into that position, but you can't go down, and you can't go up either. You are trapped. And this sheep, well, being a sheep, had got itself into such a position. And it bleated. I think that's what sheep do. It bleated, cried out for help. And at first it was a loud bleat. Meh, meh. And you know what? The shepherd could hear it, but the shepherd didn't do anything. What a cruel man, you say. Wouldn't you have gone straight away and abseiled down and rescued the poor sheep? But hang on, the shepherd knew better. And you know what the shepherd did? He just went to bed that night and left the poor sheep on the ledge, bleating. And then the next morning, the shepherd could hear, meh, meh, but still didn't do anything. Looks cruel, but he was concerned for that sheep. And then the third day, he heard, meh, meh. The cry was desperate. And the shepherd got his rope, fixed it, a belay, and abseiled down and rescued the sheep. Why did he wait? If he would have gone too soon, there would have been enough strength in the sheep to panic and jump out of the shepherd's hands to its death. The shepherd detected a note of desperation in the bleat of the sheep on the third day. There was no more strength. And all that sheep could do was fall into the arms of the shepherd. Do you want to know that the good shepherd is going to save you? You are trusting in him. You're saved. The word says so. But don't you want that assurance? Cry on, my friend. And once you get desperate, then the shepherd himself will come and give you that assurance. Well, there we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Christianity is simple. You are a lost sheep by nature. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd that saves. Are you able to say, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd? I'm crying to him for help. I'm depending on him, not on myself. Blessed you are if that's the case, because you're no longer on the broad road that leads to destruction, even though everybody else is going that way. You're on the narrow road that leads to life, and he is with you for the rest of the journey. But oh, don't you want to know, without a shadow of doubt, that he is indeed your shepherd, who's died for your sins? Then cry more and more. Seek him with all your hearts and ask him to give you that blessed assurance. Can I finish with the question that George Whitfield asked Howell Harris here in Cardiff a few centuries ago when they first met? He said, "Brother Harris, do you know that your sins are forgiven you? Brother, sister, do you know that your sins are forgiven you? Do you know that you are going to heaven? For his name's sake, amen."